Happy Sunday. The content of our program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis from the North Carolina Reading Service. The name of our program is Reflections, and today we'll be reading from the Holy Bible. We continue down the path of our journey through the Old Testament book of Joshua. We'll pick up in chapter 10, verse 16. And as we do every week, we begin with prayer, and then we'll read a little daily devotional from Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Joshua. We thank you for the lessons learned, the lessons about obedience. And Lord, words mean things. When you give us instruction, there's not a gray area. It is one way, and it's your way. Lord, help us to be open to your Holy Spirit. Help us to be aware of him. Help us to believe in him, and help us surrender to him. May we surrender to your word and to your will. And Lord, we ask for your help in all of this. Help us to filter out the fleshly world in which we live, and help us to be more focused on the Spirit, your Holy Spirit. And we find and meet your Holy Spirit through our faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for our families, and we thank you for the opportunities you put in front of us. We thank you for the many, many blessings, the North Carolina Reading Service being one of them, its volunteers and its donors, and for programs like Reflections and the many, many others that are offered. Lord, we ask that you put on our heart to share your word with others, and help us have confidence to know that Jesus is with us this day and every day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sarah Young teaches us this day, trust me enough to let things happen without striving to predict or control them. Relax and refresh yourself in the light of my everlasting love. My love light never dims, yet you are often unaware of my radiant presence. When you project yourself into the future, rehearsing what you will do or say, you are seeking to be self-sufficient, to be adequate without my help. This is a subtle sin, so common that it usually slips by unnoticed. The alternative is to live fully in the presence of me, depending on me each moment. Rather than fearing your inadequacy, rejoice in my abundant supply. Train your mind to seek my help continually, even when you feel competent to handle something by yourself. Don't divide your life into things you can do by yourself and things that require my help. Instead, learn to rely on me in every situation. This discipline will enable you to enjoy life more and to face each day confidently. Sarah teaches us in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Boy, those are pretty words. Beautiful words. Words from Sarah Young and words from the Holy Bible. That last one was Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6. Well, as I said in our prayer, let us not forget what the purpose of Joshua was. Joshua was the next man up after Moses. Joshua was encouraged by God to be strong and courageous. To be strong and courageous. We are called to be strong and courageous. And the way we can do that is by relying on God in everything, asking his advice, seeking his will. And for the most part, in the first 10 chapters or so, we've seen that Joshua and Israel had done this, with one exception. There was a man that when the entire Israel community was told, do not take anything for yourselves, a man, I believe the name was pronounced Achan, A-C-H-A-N, took for himself a beautiful robe that was made in Babylon, some silver and some gold, and he dug a hole in his tent and hid it under there. And what happened was Israel lost the next battle against the city of Ai. And Israel was confident, they lost. And they were very sad. They were scared for their lives. And God brought to Joshua's attention that there was a sinner amongst them and to take care of it. And that sinner was exposed. The people of Israel took care of the situation, and they went on to victory again. There was another instance, though, where they did not call on God for help, and that's when they made that oath with the Gibeonites, they didn't ask God for his opinion. Because God certainly knew the Gibeonites lived close by. They knew that they were falsely presenting themselves as people that lived far away. So then Israel made an oath, and they couldn't back down on the oath because the oath was made in front of the Lord. So we're encouraged. Be strong and courageous, and go to God for everything. And Sarah Young's reading today was very, very timely. Don't separate our lives into those things that we can do and those things that God can do. God does everything. Why would we ever stray from that? Let's rely on him for everything. I encourage you to please do that. So we pick up with chapter 10, verse 16. We're going to take a couple steps back from where we were last week. I tried to hurry through the chapter. I was unsuccessful in doing so. But we're going to see if we can make some ground up today. So, now the five kings had fled and hidden in the caves of Megiddo. When Joshua had told the five kings, had been told that the five kings had been hiding in the cave of Megiddo, he said, roll a large stone in front of the mouth of the cave and put some men there to guard it. But don't stop. Pursue your enemies, attack them from the rear, and don't let them reach their cities, for the Lord your God has given them into your hand. So Joshua and the Israelites destroyed them completely, almost to a man, but there were a few that were able to reach their fortified cities. The whole army then returned safely to Joshua in the camp of Megiddo, and no one uttered a word against the Israelites. Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring those five kings out to me. So they brought the five kings out of the cave, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. When they had brought these kings to Joshua, he summoned all the men of Israel and said to the army commanders who had come with him, come here and put your feet on the necks of these kings. So they came forward and placed their feet on their necks. Joshua said to them, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. This is what the Lord will do to all the enemies that we are going to fight. Then Joshua struck and killed the kings and hung them on five trees, and they were left hanging on the trees until evening. At sunset, Joshua gave the order and took them down from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had been hiding. At the mouth of the cave, they placed large rocks, which are there to this very day. That day, Joshua took Megiddo. He put the city and its king to the sword and totally destroyed everyone in it. He left no survivors. And he did to the king of Megiddo as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua and all Israel with him moved on from Megiddo to Libna and attacked it. The Lord also gave that city and its kings to Israel's hand. The city and everyone in it Joshua put to the sword. He left no survivors there, and he did to its king as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua and all Israel with him moved out from Libna to Lachish, and he took up possessions against it and attacked it. The Lord handed Lachish over to Israel, and Joshua took it on the second day. This city and everyone in it, he put it to the sword, just as he had done to Libna. Meanwhile, Horam, king of Gezer, had come up to help Lachish, but Joshua defeated him and his army until no survivors were left. Then Joshua and all Israel with him moved on from Lachish to Eglon. They took up positions against it and attacked it. They captured it the same day and put it to the sword and totally destroyed everyone in it, just as they had done to Lachish. Then Joshua and all Israel with him went up to Eglon to Hebron and attacked it. They took the city and put it to the sword, together with its king, its villages, and everyone in it. They left no survivors, just as Eglon then totally destroyed it and everyone in it. Then Joshua and all Israel with him turned around and attacked Debir. They took the city, its king, and its villages, and put them to the sword, everyone in it totally destroyed. They left no survivors. They did to Debir and its king as they had done to Libna and the king and its king and to Hebron. So Joshua subdued the whole region, including the hill country, the Negev, the western foothills, and the mountain slopes, together with all its kings. He left no survivors. He totally destroyed all who breathed, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded. Joshua subdued them from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza, and from the whole region of Goshen to Gibeon. All these kings and their lands Joshua conquered in one campaign, because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all of Israel to the camp at Gilgal. Chapter 11. When Jabin, king of Hazor, heard of this, he sent word to Jobab, king of Medan, to the kings of Shimron and Akspah, and to the northern kings who are in the mountains, in the Arabah, south of Kinnereth, in the western foothills, and to Naphoth, Dor, on the west, to the Canaanites in the east and to the west, to the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, and Jebusites in the hill country, and to the Hivites below the Hermon, in the Israel of Mizpah. They came out with all their troops and a large number of horses and chariots, a huge army, as numerous as the sands of the seashore. All these kings joined forces and made camp together on the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them, because by this time tomorrow I will hand all of them over to Israel, slain. You are to hamstring their horses and burn their chariots." So Joshua and his whole army came against them suddenly on the waters of Merom, attacking them. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Israel. They defeated them and pursued them all the way to the greater Sidon, to Misrath Maim, and to the valley of Mizpah on the east, until no survivors were left. Joshua did to them as the Lord had directed. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots. At that time, Joshua turned back and captured Hazor and put its king to the sword. Hazor had been the head of all these kingdoms. Everyone in it they put to the sword. They totally destroyed them, not sparing anything that breathed, and he burned up Hazor itself. Joshua took all these royal cities and their kings and put them to the sword. He totally destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. Yet Israel did not burn any of the cities built on their mounds, except Hazor, which Joshua burned. The Israelites carried off for themselves all the plunder and livestock of these cities, but all the people they put to the sword until they were completely destroyed, not sparing anyone that breathed. As the Lord commanded his servant Moses, so Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua did it. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua took this entire land, the hill country, all of Negev, the whole region of Goshen, the western foothills, the Arabah, and the mountains of Israel with their foothills, from the Mount Halak, which rises toward Seir, to Baal Gad, to the valley of Lebanon, below Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings and struck them down, put them to death. Joshua waged war against all these kings for a long time, except for the Hivites living in Gibeon. Not one city, Not one city made a treaty of peace with the Israelites, who took them all in battle. For it was the Lord himself who hardened their hearts to wage war against Israel, so that he might destroy them totally, exterminating them without mercy, as the Lord had commanded Moses. At that time Joshua went and destroyed the Anakites from the hill country, from Hebron, Debir, and Anab, from all the hill country of Judah, and from all the hill country of Israel. Joshua totally destroyed them and their towns. No Anakites were left in Israel, Israelite territory. Only in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod did any survive. So Joshua took the entire land, just as the Lord had directed Moses, and he gave it as an inheritance to Israel, according to their tribal divisions. Then the land had rest from war. Chapter 12. These are the kings of the land whom the Israelites had defeated, and whose territory they took over east of the Jordan, from the Arnon Gorge to Mount Hermon, including all the east side of Arabah. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, he ruled from Aroer on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, from the middle of the gorge to the Jabbok River, which is the border of the Amorites. This included half of Gilead. He also ruled over the eastern Arabah from the Sea of Ginnereth to the Sea of Arabah to Beth Jeshimoth, and then southward below the slopes of Pisgah. And the territory of Og, king of Bashan, one of the last of the Rephites who reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei. He ruled over Mount Hermon, Seleca, all of Bashan to the border of the people of Gashan, Makkah, and half of Gilead to the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the Israelites conquered them, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave the land to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh to be their possession. These are the kings of the land of Joshua, and the Israelites conquered on the west side of the Jordan, from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon to Mount Halak, which rises towards the Seir. Chapter 13. When Joshua was old and advanced in years, the Lord said to him, "You are very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. This is the land that remains, all the regions of the Philistines and the Geshurites, from the Shihor River on the east of Egypt, the territory of Ekron on the north, all of it counted as Canaanite. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites, from Arad of the Sidonians, as far as Aphek, the region of the Amorites, the area of the Galebites, and all of Lebanon to the east, from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon to Lebo Hamath. As for all the inhabitants of the mountain regions, from Lebanon to Misrapath, Maim, that is, all the Sidonians, I myself will drive them out before the Israelites, to be sure to allocate this land to Israel for its inheritance, as I have instructed you, and divide it as an inheritance among the nine tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. The other half of Manasseh, the Reubenites and the Gadites, will receive their inheritance that Moses had given them east of the Jordan, as he, the servant of the Lord, had assigned it to them. It extended from Aroer on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, and from the town of the middle of the gorge, and included the whole plateau of Meribah as far as Dibon, and all the towns of the Sihon king of the Amorites who ruled in Heshbon, out to the border of the Amorites. It also included Gilead, the territory of the people of Geshur and Makkah, and all of Mount Hermon and all of Bashan as far as Seleca. That is, the whole kingdom of Og and Bashan, who had reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei, and had survived as one of the least of the Raphaites. Moses had defeated them and taken over their land, but the Israelites did not drive out the people of Gersha and Makkah, so they continue to live among the Israelites to this day. But to the tribe of Levi he gave no inheritance, since the offerings made by fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are the inheritance as he promised them. This is what Moses had given to the tribe of Reuben, clan by clan. The territory from Aroer to the rim of Arnon Gorge, and from the town in the middle of the gorge to the whole plateau of Medeba, to Heshan and all its towns on the plateau, including Dibon, Bamoth, Maul, Beth Baal, Jahaz, Kittimoth, Mepheth, Kirithim, Sabah, Zerath Shehar on the hill side of the valley, Beth Peor, the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth Jershimoth. All the towns on the plateau and the entire realm of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who ruled at Heshbon. Moses had defeated him and the midnight chiefs, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, Reba, princes allied with Sihon who lived in the country. In addition to all those slain in the battle, the Israelites had put into the sword of Balaam, son of Beor, who had practiced divination. The boundary of the Reubenites was the bank of the Jordan. These towns and the villages were the inheritance of the Reubenites, clan by clan. This is what Moses had given to the tribe of Gad, clan by clan. The territory of Jezer, all the towns of the Gilead and half the Amorite country as far as Or, near Rebah, and from Heshbon to Ramath Mizpah and Bediam, and from Mahanaim to the territory of Debri, and in the valley, Beth-Haram, Beth-Nicca, Succoth, Zaphron, with the rest of the realm of Sihon, the king of Heshbon. These towns and their villages were the inheritance of the Gadites, clan by clan. This is what Moses had given to the half-tribe of Manasseh, that is, to half the family of the descendants of Manasseh, clan by clan, the territory extending from Maharan and including all of Bashan, the entire realm of Og, king of Bashan, all the settlements of Jer in Bashan, 60 towns, half of Gilead, and Ashtaroth and Edrei. This was the descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh, half of the sons of Machir, clan by clan. This is the inheritance Moses had given when he was in the plains of Moab, across the Jordan east of the Jericho. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord of God, the Lord, the God of Israel, is the inheritance, as he had promised them. Chapter 14. And I want to apologize. There's a lot of ancient cities and towns that I'm sure I am not pronouncing very correctly. And it's very complex to kind of listen to. But in essence, this is just the promise that God had made the people of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel were going to have a piece of the promised land. There were 2.5 tribes that were promised a land east of the Jordan River before they crossed over. And that's what we had just read. That was half of Manasseh. That was the Reubenites and the Gadites have received theirs. Everything to the west of the river was going to be for the other 9.5 clans, half of Manasseh and the other 9. So chapter 14. Now these are the areas the Israelites received as an inheritance in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel allotted to them. Their inheritance were assigned by lot to the 9.5 tribes as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Moses had granted the 2.5 tribes their inheritance east of the Jordan, but had not granted the Levites an inheritance among the rest. For the sons of Joseph had become 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites received no share of the land, but only towns to live in, and with pasture lands for their flocks and herds. So the Israelites divided the land just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions, but my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since that time, while Israel moved about the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as strong. And vigorous to go out to battle as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helped me. I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb's son Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Chapter 15. The allotment for the tribe of Judah, clan by clan, extended down to the territory of Edom, to the desert of Zin in the extreme south. Their boundary started from the bay at the south end of the Salt Sea, crossed south of the Scorpion Pass, continued onto Zin, and went over to the south of Kadesh Barnea. Then it ran up Hezron, up to Adar, and curved around Kekar. It then passed along Azmon and joined the Wadi of Egypt, ending at the sea. This is their southern boundary. The eastern boundary is the sea salt as far as the mouth of the Jordan. The northern boundary started from the bay of the sea at the mouth of the Jordan, went up to Beth Helgla, and continued north of Beth Arba to the stone of Ban, son of Reuben. The boundary then went up to Debir from the valley of Achor and turned north to Gilgal, which faces the pass of Edomim south of the gorge. It continued along the waters of the En Sheshem and came to Engral. Then it ran up to the valley of Ben Hinnom along the southern slope of Jebusite. From there, it climbed to the top hill of the west of Hinnom Valley to the northern end of the valley of Ramah. From the hilltop of the boundary, headed toward the spring of the waters of Nephtah, came out of the town of Mount Hebron and down from Bala. Then it curved westward to Bala to Mount Seir, ran along the northern slope of Mount Jerim, continued down the Beth Shamash, and down to Timnah. It went to the northern slope of Ekron, turned toward Sikaron, passed along Mount Bala, and reached Jabneel near the end. The boundary ended near the sea. So we've ran out of time for today's episode. Again, I apologize for these many, many words, many very, very descriptive words. But again, I started our talk today, our reading today, talking about words mean things. God is very precise, very prescriptive on what we can do to have righteousness, and that righteousness is found in Jesus Christ, his Son, by having faith in him, by following God's call, by receiving him. I hope you've enjoyed our program, Reflections. My name again is Jim DeJunis. I'm reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. May God bless you, those you love, this day and every day.